Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
And we return. And with us still is State Representative Josh Cutler, as he kind of teased a little
evening.
Bit.
Yes.
Good evening.
Good evening.
He teased that he was active during the sales tax free weekend, where you can buy something up to $2,500.
0.25% up to $2,500. It's a nice little break in the middle of August, which is otherwise can be a slower year for our retailers. So it's nice to give them a little bit of a boost.
Well, one of my key acquisitions, as you had alluded to before the break, as you spoiled the tease, is I did buy.
And you should have seen the looks, the daggers that I got from across the microphone here from Kevin when I
almost,
outed him.
He almost came across this table.
Yeah, Joe, thank you for
he's
good
a neighbor.
Staying between us.
I would have been invited to one of his poker games or something. Why would I do that? No, I did. I purchased a snowblower. Actually, when I arrived here at the station today, I proclaimed to Christine James, our managing news editor, that in fact, we're probably not going to get snow because that's what kind of luck I have.
Right. Thank you very much.
I bought that snowblower, and I got it. What's great is I actually Friday I went over to Lowe's, and
say who had snowblowers for sale.
Lowe's was okay. They were stocked.
Wow,
they were stocked, and I knew this like 3-4 months in advance because I'm working on a project at the house right now, and I had asked one of the people there. I'm like, when are you guys going to have the snowblowers? Because I am thinking of investing in one because I was in my mind thinking, what do I want to buy? Because I've never done the whole sales tax free weekend. Normally, I'm like, you know, same thing with Black Friday. You know, do I want to be out there 3 o'clock in the morning to get something that's, you know, saving $20? And I thought, after this past winter and the way we got bombarded, and after not only myself, but my poor girlfriend and her daughters and her son, the shovel.
You're not going to make her shovel this year? Is that the...
That's not what the edict is. Well, she's very diligent. She gets up. If there's a half an inch out there, she's out there. I'm like, wait. She goes, no, I can't wait. She gets right out
there.
So
you're making a public pledge tonight that you're handling the snow.
I'm not doing any thing of the sort. I'm saying that we have a snowblower now with an electric start, electric starter, and this thing is a 28-inch behemoth that is going to at least keep snow out of my driveway.
Does it have the tread wheels instead of the...
Yes.
It does.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Look at
Kevin. It's got a light. It's got this two-stage. I saved some money. I have a business account with Lowe's, so I saved money there. Plus, it's being delivered and assembled.
Well done. Nice. Wow, very nice.
Yeah. What about you?
Well, so my purchase was even more mundane. It was a vacuum cleaner.
Cleaning your act up.
I need to clean up my act. That's exactly right. I did go to Westwinds and bought a book as well, but the big purchase was a vacuum cleaner. So
nothing wrong with that. Now, is this for the house? Myself, or is this like for your car? I mean, because you could shop back or something like that.
No, this is a regular vacuum cleaner, one of those Shark ones. That was what was recommended to me.
Oh, very nice. Yeah,
very nice. But you know, it's good. It's a we joke about this, but it was a serious debate this year actually in the legislature about the whole sales tax holiday. It was an interesting policy debate because there's two sides of that. Some people call it a gimmick. I know those words have been used by our esteemed former host, and perhaps accurately so. But my view, and I did vote in favor of the sales tax holiday. I think it does serve as a stimulus during a time of year. August is typically very quiet from a consumer point of view, and I think it's one of those things where it kind of spurs economic activity. And you see people taking out, having sales on top of the 6.25% or, doorbuster things, advertising in the local papers, on the radio station. I'm sure you guys saw an uptick in advertising in advance of that. And so, I think overall it's a positive thing. And, we can have a good debate about it and a healthy debate. And we did have that. We had some actually pretty passionate debate on this issue earlier this month. And, but I think it's a positive thing. I think we should make it a permanent... Sales tax holiday every August.
I think I've actually opened Pandora's door here because I'm getting text messages from different folks that I know. A former guest like Tim Greno, who's told me that he also made a purchase. I got different people saying that they've made purchases as well and they enjoyed it. I think I saw something on social media that our governor also...
A flat screen TV, I think I saw.
He made a purchase. I will tell you, I know that there are some folks out there who feel that while it's okay to... do this particular type of a tax-free weekend, that there are some other businesses that could use it as well, maybe restaurants and stuff like that. I know that's been proposed.
That has in the past as well, having a tax-free restaurant. One of the ideas was having a Sunday evenings in the summer, meals tax-free.
Maybe like a week.
Yeah.
How about a week? Am I pushing it?
There's all different kinds of ideas. I think the issue... the resistance comes from, you know, obviously provides revenue for the Commonwealth for services that we all count on, and we're trying to have a balanced budget without increasing fees or taxes, which we accomplished that this year. It becomes an issue of some folks will say that a sales tax holiday just doesn't increase economic activity. It just transfers it from, you know, this weekend to next weekend, that kind of thing. And I think there's some of that. Obviously, I think, you know, maybe you buy your snowblower, you know, later in the fall. But I think the whole, if you look at the bigger picture and you talk to retailers, you know, there is a ripple effect. I think more people, you know, they have to have more staff, more people are getting a paycheck, more people are spending money. And it does provide a boost at a time of year, as I said again, you know, that's typically not busy. I mean, I wouldn't recommend we do this, you know, in around Christmas time. I think people are going to spend anyway. But around now, I think it does provide a boost and whatever we can do to help our retailers.
Can I tell you, it's funny, it's just kind of looking at the list of things. And again, we're speaking with none other than State Representative Josh Kotler. Last week, I got my cell phone bill and I noticed nothing has changed. Nothing changed as far as my use, whether it was my minutes on my phone, my text messages, but there was a little bit of an uptick. What's going on as far as the taxes on cell phones?
So it's an interesting segue. You're the master of segues, by the way, Kevin.
Moments.
Yes,
I have Joe do it, but he didn't practice.
I'll never be as great as you, Kevin.
You know, one of the things that one of the quirks of the sales tax holiday, and if for folks who are out there who may have bought a cell phone over the weekend, they may have noticed that they actually got a bigger discount than buying a typical purchase. And that's because of a sort of a quirk in our tax laws and the way that cell phones are taxed. And so, you know, we've talked about this in the past on this show, and it's an issue that my predecessor had filed legislation on, and I have as well. Mm-hmm. So essentially, in Massachusetts is one of, I believe, two states that does this. You actually pay sales tax not on the amount at the cash register, not the amount that you actually paid for on your receipt, but on the higher of the manufacturer's retail price. In other words, if you bought an iPhone or a Samsung phone and it cost you $200 and you bought it with a bundled package with the service plan and it really would have retailed for $600, you actually paid sales tax on the $600, not the $200.
And we're one of only two states, right?
We're one of two other states that does it this way. So you could buy, you know, a really cheap used cell phone for $50 and spend an equivalent amount in sales tax because of that. Because of that very fact. So there's a number of bills floating around, and I filed one of them, and some other my colleagues have filed them as well to change that, to make it, to put some common sense back in the law. And this was a result of a change in 2011. The Department of Revenue came out with a new directive, and they decided this is how they were going to calculate the sales tax. And so we have filed legislation since then to try to correct that. And last session, we made some progress. Actually, was reported favorably out of committee. And happened again this year, so we're making some progress. We're, you know, it's obviously still in the process, but the idea is, you know, if you buy something, the tax should be reflected what's on the cash register, not the manufacturer's price. If you go buy a refrigerator, and it's normally $800 and it's on sale for $600, you pay a sales tax on $600. That's the way things work. It's very clear. It's understandable. And in this case, we have a discrepancy in the law that makes it overly complicated and, frankly, is anti-consumer and doesn't help our retailers either. So it's a good segue because of the tax-free holiday weekend, some people actually would have seen a much bigger savings if you bought a cell phone because of that very fact. So obviously that's the way we like it to be every weekend.
Okay, but it's something that you'll come back in as there's more updates. you'll provide them to us, whether it's here or the news department.
Absolutely,
as you guys
yeah.
No,
so that's something we're working on, and I know my colleagues here in the South Shore. It's one of the, it's a bipartisan issue. I know all my colleagues here, Democrat, Republican, all agree that this is kind of a silly directive, a silly interpretation of the directive, and it needs to be changed. And so hopefully we'll see some progress on that.
Maybe once it's changed, Kevin will finally get a new phone.
Yeah, it's I wish we were on TV.
I told you the reason why.
I'm gonna take a picture of this and put it on my Facebook page.
Please do it. It's a relic.
Anyone who follows me, all right, hold on.
I just don't want to be like everybody else who has their face in their phone. Okay, every time somebody has a phone, they have they're like this. They're like glued to their phone. I just don't want to be like, I don't want to be, I'm already addicted to other devices. I don't need another device.
Joe, were you born when this phone was made?
I'm not sure. I may have been.
He might have been thought of. if we were to pick one more topic before we wrap up our conversation, would you want to talk a little bit about...
there's one thing that actually, some news that came out today.
Please.
That the Attorney General, Maura Healey, came out with fentanyl. Some of you guys may have heard of that. There's some legislation that was just introduced today that I was glad to be a co-sponsor of, that would increase penalties for trafficking fentanyl, which is a synthetic painkiller that's often used with heroin and other opiates. And we've seen an enormous increase in cases of fentanyl being used in our opiates. In fact, I just before I came on saw some stats from the Massachusetts State Police showing that in 2013, there were 5 cases of trafficking with fentanyl detected. So far in 2015, there have been 473. Mm-hmm. So that's an exponential increase. And so the Attorney General, with our bipartisan support, is filing new legislation to make trafficking in fentanyl a crime punishable by up to 20 years in prison. Currently, it was illegal already, but there was no penalty in place for trafficking in fentanyl. So this would sort of address that gap in the law. So it's something that, unfortunately, is becoming something we need to continue to address. And
keep an eye on, right? Yeah. Especially with the number of overdoses. I thought I've heard conversations about folks who have overdosed because of the amount of fentanyl that may have been in the drug itself.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I also, to the representative's point, too, is that when they go into court and they're being caught with trafficking, they're getting their sentences reduced because it's not heroin, technically, it's fentanyl.
Right,
so
exactly.
This is going to end up closing that loophole.
Exactly right, Joe. Yeah. And we're just about out of time, but just to end on a slightly more positive note, I wanted to mention... We do have a new Plymouth County Substance Abuse Coalition, thanks to my colleague Representative Cantwell and Representative Coulter and Senator DiMaceto and others. And we were able to get some funding in the budget this year for some recovery coaches. I know this has been something we've chatted about in the past, but the whole issue is when people are trying to get help, there's a gap in coverage between once you get that immediate help to detox and trying to transition out of that. So we have some funding in the budget for what's called recovery coaches to help people during that transition. So we are making some progress, and that's an area where we definitely needed some help and some more resources.
There he is, State Representative Josh Cutler, joining us and doing a great job. And you're going to stay.
I'm going to stick around.
You're going to stick around.
And some trash talking,
yes,
I think, right?
Absolutely. as we step aside, when we come back, we're going to talk a little softball, the annual softball game in Pembroke, right after these messages. You are listening to 95.9 WATD Monday Night Talk.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.